The Round Table on Crick Info Talk.
Hello and welcome to the Crick Info Round Table. I'm Sanjay Mantrekar. Ricky Ponting said something very interesting the other day referring to Sean Tay's decision to take an indefinite break from cricket because of mental and physical exhaustion. Ponting said people think test cricket is all about five-star hotels, but they don't realize the pressures we are all under. Player burnout has claimed another victim this time, one who is just three tests old. Close on the heels of Tate's announcement, there's been New Zealand's Lou Vinson, who revealed that he was undergoing treatment for depression. A lot of people believe modern-day cricket places huge demand on the cricketers, unrealistic expectations, media pressure, easy stardom, big money all play a major role in cricket today. Are players more vulnerable to pressure and burnout today as opposed to in the past? To look closely at this issue and analyze its impact on world cricket, I have with me a current cricketer, Kumar Sangakkara, and of course David Lloyd, who played in the 70s and 80s, and there's me as well from the 80s and 90s. So, gentlemen, welcome to the Cricket Info Roundtable. Okay, here's the first question. The tours we went on may have been boring or rigid at times with their endless rounds of practice sessions. At least you weren't bound to breaking point every day with the need to perform. Now, this is what David Garr said after Tate's decision. Have the demands on the players changed today as opposed to the past? David, if I can start with you, do you think the players are under more pressure today than they were, say, 20, 30 years back?
Sanjay, it's a really interesting subject and something that has crept on us, really, from Marcus Trescothick. You can add those that name to the two that have previously been mentioned. Back in the 60s, 70s and 80s when I played, and I played mainly county cricket with a little bit of test match cricket, that there was pressure there, but it was pressure that you wanted to respond to. To see it now and from a commentary position, you would notice that there are lots of cameras, and I would say that it is a totally different game from a marketing aspect than it was when I played.
Over the years, I think the level of cricket that we play and the skills involved, I don't think that has changed much. I think good players are still good players. The pressure is the same to perform. The hunger that players have to perform is I think, still the same. The only thing, as David said, is that your performance is scrutinized more. You're always under a microscope. Every single shot you play, every single decision you make out on the field is dissected and then analyzed and criticized, not just during the match, but maybe for a week or more after as well in the media. So I think one aspect that has changed is the amount of media pressure and media scrutiny that the players are under. The other thing is players earn, I think, their full living from cricket these days. And because of that, cricket becomes the center of their lives. So every single performance and every single match you play matters to players in more ways than one. It's, of course, it's national pride, to show your ability on the world stage, but also it's performance for survival, surviving in the team, surviving at that top level, and thereby, earning your living.
That is what I would like to ask David. He makes a very good point about now cricket and the sport being a full-time profession for players these days. And when you look at it, it's a very short career. In many ways, it's a short-term profession with high risk involved, when it comes to returns. So do you think that is one of the major factors that we see the kind of pressures on the players?
It is the player's choice. You chose this profession, you chose this route to earn money.
Kumar, do you think sports psychologists imperative in modern-day cricket?
I think players have to be guided as to how to deal with situations that they encounter at this level. Like I said before, your livelihood depends on your performing, but at the same time, when you do perform well, you're always in the limelight, you are making that amount of money. To deal with that takes a bit of skill, it takes intelligence, awareness of how to deal with that. I have seen players who have, not been able to deal with the stardom, and subsequently that has affected them in adverse ways. I believe that individuals differ in the ways they deal with the pressures that they face. A great example, Australian example, would be Steve Waugh. In situations where lots of other players would wilt, he seemed to blossom. That is, on the field. And even off the field, like Warney, he was under immense media pressure for his life outside cricket. His cricket seemed to lift and he seemed to blossom and he seemed to revel in those situations where he was, the center of attention. And I believe that if you can teach players and make them aware of how to deal with these situations in simpler, more practical, more effective ways. And that's where I think sports psychologists or psychologists in any form can come into this picture. I think players would have a lot more breathing space and a lot more a more definitive idea as to what they'll encounter here.
Right. Kumar has brought in the perspective of certain individuals feeling the pressure more than the others. Now, for example, you know, when you talk about media pressure, media scrutiny, there is no better example than India. But then you have a Tendulkar, then you have a Sourav Ganguly as well, who wants to keep playing, wants to just extend their careers. They aren't feeling the pressure. Let me ask you a very blunt question. You know, the name that we've mentioned here, Lou Vinson, Sean Tate, Marcus Triscothing from England, are these individuals who perhaps felt the pressure more than the others and would have felt the pressure in perhaps any profession they would have taken up? Or is the current state of the sport to be blamed?
I don't think anything's changed in that regard. Sports psychology has really come on board, and I would say that the individual teams of the individual players that we've mentioned have failed that player. Of course, there are other players who go on the crest of a wave. They revel in all sorts of pressure and they rise to the occasion. But in any team of 11, you'll have different characters within the team, and we should be able to identify if a player has got difficulty. I'll just tell you, from my brief time as England coach, we had a fantastic captain in Michael Atherton. Not only on the field, but his main thrust, I would say, was off the field. If he saw any player that he felt that was suffering, maybe from homesickness or from being out of the team or from being out of the loop of the team, he would take that player aside. He would go into that player's room and sit with him until he was satisfied that that player is fine.
Kumar, can you explain that? Why players from the subcontinent don't seem to be affected as much, or they seem to be handling it better than the names that have been mentioned?
I think out of the, you know, four subcontinental teams, Indian players would be under the most pressure. I remember when Vinod Kambli came onto the scene, I remember, you know, watching him and thinking what a great player he was. But for some reason, after a fantastic start to his career, he seemed to have just faded away. I think when you have people in your team who have dealt with that type of pressure over and over again for years in their careers, I think that experience, when it's shared among the team, helps the younger players coming in as well. In our team, we have Sanat Murali, who have been amazing cricketers, but have been under a lot of pressure at home and abroad to perform. Murray, in so many ways, with his action, with acceptance in world cricket, they are still dealing with those problems today. The way they deal with it is fantastic to see. We see it firsthand when we're in the team. I think the Indian players see how Sachin and the rest of them deal with these problems and the pressures. And I think that sort kind of educates you.
But then you can say the same for Australian and England players as well. You know, they would, Triscothic would have had an example in the England team. Do you think perhaps, you know, just the way, you know, our countries are, where, you know, there's a day-to-day struggle for the common man in our country, that the players who finally reach a certain level feel that they're still so much better off than the rest, that they're able to handle this pressure and look at it more positively than perhaps a New Zealander or an Englishman or an Australian?
I would say the acceptance of incoming players, the embracing of those players and welcoming them into the fold, and the nurturing of those players that take place in the subcontinent, I don't think happens as much in Australia, England, or maybe New Zealand and South Africa. Especially in Sri Lanka, all the players who play now with each other have played against each other and have known each other for years. They meet each other regularly every week. And they play against each other every week. We don't have to fly in and live in different states. We live basically 2 hours away from each other. We see each other socially more than probably other teams. And I think that acceptance in your team, that familiarity, eases the pressure that individuals go through and is shared among the team. And I think that maybe in the Australian team, maybe for example for the England team, players coming in are expected to deal with a lot of problems on their own, and they're expected to be as, you know, mature and strong enough mentally to be able to cope. But I think in the subcontinent, I've seen Sachin talking to a lot of players. You have him talking about batting, about cricket, about other things, about life. When I've come into the team, I've had Arjuna sitting, not talking about cricket, but talking about touring, how to focus on games, how to take, you know, have downtime away from cricket.
How much is excessive cricket the reason for you know, the state of mind of the Lou Vinson and Sean Tate?
I don't think that they're playing excessive cricket. I think that can be managed by the administration. I'm sure that it's deeper than that. The expectancy maybe of the individual is too high. Very interesting to hear Kumar talk about elder statesmen and great ambassadors of the game, and he will talk about Sri Lanka and Arjuna Ranatunga. Now, Arjuna Ranatunga, if you played against him, was universally disliked, but you can tell, if you look at it from a distance, this man has massive influence on the players around him. And now I'll talk specifically about English players. We haven't got it. We don't seem to have that mentality. And another word that Kumar mentioned was intelligence, to bring that into it and to keep your feet on the ground. You're playing a game of cricket and nothing more than that. And yes, it is serious. Money talks. I don't think there's any problem there, that a player who's in the loop and playing international cricket is very comfortable, and if he drops out of that loop, he's not so comfortable, and that will play on the mind and in any sport and psychology of identifying the player who needs a little bit of help. There's been a stigma all along about help for players, and no more so than right now, that a number of players do need help.
Kumar, there's another thought. Say a non-cricketer, if he's listening to this talk, he'll be wondering, now this is a sport that is played by 10 countries, so it's not really a global sport, not yes. even an individual sport. So why this focus on pressures on individuals? Are we overreacting because of a few individuals feeling the pressure?
I think cricket, even though it's a team sport, it's still an individual team sport. If you're out in the middle batting, there are only two players. When you're bowling, you have the support, yes, of 10 fielders, but it's still you who has to deliver the performance on the field. I've seen in India, after certain one-day games, you'll have one TV network talking about the villain of the day, and you'll have the other TV network talking about the hero of the day. So yes, it is a team sport, but at the end of the day, individuals are marked out. I think the pressure, yes, the team feels it, but individuals also feel it, and they feel very much alone even in a team environment when they're going through a bad phase.
So on the same subject, I just want to ask you, you know, what frustrates a modern-day cricketer? What frustrates you about the media scrutiny?
I think, Sanjay, it's two ways. The media pressure and how the player reacts to the media pressure, how the team reacts to media pressure on certain players, and how the administration, including the selectors, and the management react to media pressure and how they look at individual players who are under media scrutiny. At the end of the day, I've seen selectors in Sri Lanka pander to the press and sacrifice members of the team, you know, because of media pressure. Mm. So sometimes how the player, the decision as how to react to that is taken completely out of the player's hands. If you take strong teams, they're always backed by a strong administration. That is natural, and you see that. You see how much India has backed their players in the recent past. The thing is, sometimes it is not just how the individual reacts to the media pressure, but also how the individual reacts to the way he sees other people reacting to the stories about you. And sometimes it can get a bit too much, and I think that's frustrating to players at certain times. But I don't think the expectancy is, maybe it's not too much. I think players are there to deliver. And I think if you take the players themselves, they expect far more of themselves than I think the media expects of them.
That's a good point, David, that Kumar makes. I recently read an article, and there was one interesting line in that article which said that the ICC seems to be run by the BCCI, and the media runs the BCCI. So that is, you know, what Kumar Sangakkara has brought up. Do you think in England as well, David, that the media almost forces the administrators to make compromises?
No, not in the slightest. I think we've got a fair media. They can be brutal in what is written if the team doesn't perform well. But having sat in a dressing room with some good characters, and I've mentioned Atherton, and I'll mention Hussain and Alex Stewart and Angus Fraser, they will say in the confines of the team room, we were rubbish today and we're going to get hammered and we need to be hammered. They will understand that if they don't play well, they will get criticised in the press. But equally, when you do play well, you get lauded in the press. I think that you've got to, as a player, be proactive with the media, not reactive. And I think that's the way that we should educate players, and I know you've got one there, and on Sky TV we love interviewing Kumar Sangakkara because he tells it as it is. We've got one in our team who is box office, as far as we're concerned, Kevin Peterson.
Frank Tyson has maintained that modern cricketers tend to spend too much time conditioning their physique, but not spend enough time conditioning their mental faculties. Kumar, do you think that there will be slowly a shift from the emphasis given on the physical development and now towards mental tuning?
I think there is a need, but I think both of them go hand in hand. The stronger you are physically, the easier it is for you to concentrate for longer periods of time and to be mentally skillful and, you know, have that energy to bring your full mental faculties to bear on each situation. So I think players have to get fitter, but not to the point where they're ignoring how important your mental skills are. You have to be mentally tough, as they always say, but I think to be mentally tough, lots of people have different ideas as to what mental toughness is. But I think mental toughness at the end of the day is a combination. In what way are you proactive? How long can you really bring all your senses to bear on one particular moment and on one particular situation? So it's a combination. It's not just talking about giving it back as much as you get, just looking the next player in the eye. And I think when you talk about that cricketer's mental toughness, Sanjay, it's not just about the game. It's also about your lifestyle. Correct. Away from the sport, about your family. All of that, being able to balance your life out and have, total focus on cricket when you're playing cricket, and being able to live a very positive lifestyle away from cricket with one eye on the game, so that your lifestyle is beneficial to your game and your game is beneficial to your lifestyle.
Tell us one thing, gentlemen, how do we protect that young talent that comes to international cricket in today's world, where his lifestyle takes a complete sort of, it's a skyrockets, a completely new world is open to him. Yuvraj Singh, lost his way after a great beginning. Now he's come back a more mature player.
Well, number one, with strong management and terrific senior players who can see that a player is losing it and perhaps going in the wrong direction, to pull him back in line. If you're a tight-knit community, and you know each other, and you've been around since your formative years as teenagers, it's very easy to do that. I find that very easy. So senior players, I think, are very important, and also strong management, and to a lesser extent, strong administration. Now, you won't have seen a new lad from New Zealand called Jesse Ryder, who's opening the batting. He's got a great name, Jesse Ryder. He's definitely overweight. He's a bit fat, put it that way, put it bluntly. But can he play cricket? And he's come from a very demanding background. And I'll be absolutely so interested to see how New Zealand handle this raw talent. But he's had issues in his life. Now he's got a taste of international cricket. How do they handle him? And that will be a real intriguing thing down the line, 5 years' time, to see if Jesse Ryder is still around and if he's still going to, and he will do, if he continues to play as he is doing, he will be a box office player.
Kumar, is it easy for young players to keep their head in our environment, especially in the subcontinent?
I don't think it's easy, Sanjay, but I think it again depends. I think, number one, the environment to which the player comes. Positive management, a positive team environment where you learn and where everyone has their feet on the ground and their eye on the ball. I think it also depends on the individual player, the values that he's grown up with and what he brings into the team. At the same time, you must have opportunities for players to nurture interests away from just cricket, so that they have a semblance of balance and cricket does not become be-all and end-all of that particular player's life. You also have to give that player an opportunity to speak to someone and be very open and frank with someone not part of the team or the team management or the administration. We've had Sandy Gordon, who's come in as a psychologist, and we found that players open up to him a lot more than sometimes they do to the management or to senior players. And once you start educating players as to the value of being honest and open in your communication, and also at the same time being who they are. I think teams have to learn to respect individuals and not try to change them or make them, or turn them into stereotypes. Give them their space, give them room to develop on their own, but at the same time, have an eye and a nurturing attitude towards them. So whenever they need help, either they ask for it or you can see that they do, that it, it's easily approachable and done in the right way.
We're coming to the end of our discussion. Final question now. The three names mentioned, Tate, Lou Vincent, and Trescothick, all feeling the pressures and have been quite bold and honest about it. They have made it a public issue. Now tell me, gentlemen, would it be easy for these guys now to make a comeback to international cricket? Would there be some kind of a stigma attached to their mental frailty?
Well, I think it will be difficult, and we're out in New Zealand now, and so I've read extensively about Lou Vincent, and he's almost opened his heart in the newspapers as to how he was feeling. He's almost saying that it's one step at a time, and he's coming back into his state cricket and trying to enjoy himself, and not just enjoy the cricket. I think they're going to find it very difficult, and Marcus Trescothick has been out for quite some time, and what a talent. I've been involved with Marcus Trescothick since he was 14 with England junior side. I found it incredible because he lived and breathed the game.
And showed no signs at all of something like this was going to get to him?
No, absolutely nothing. It came as a massive shock. And he's still, I think, a long, long way away from playing for England. And my personal view, Sanjay, is that he's not going to play for England again. But intriguingly, there's something that doesn't just fit with me and a number of other people, that he's going to have a benefit and he's going to write a book. It just doesn't sit right. I'd have thought that if you'd got that sort of problem, you'd shun away from that sort of limelight. And I don't think Trescothick is going to play. Tate is the interesting one because he's a fast bowler. He's going to hit you hard and he's a massive guy and he's young enough. And I should think that with Cricket Australia, that has been a massive shock. But my own personal view, that it would be terribly difficult for a player to come back into international cricket.
Yeah, what I'm suddenly starting to realize also, Kumar, is that, you know, the state of mind that we are talking about these young players. Now, that was a state of mind that players used to reach in the 70s and 80s earlier, maybe at the age of 34, 35, when they used to retire from the game.
Yes.
You know, feeling that the pressure is too much, they're not enjoying it anymore. What perhaps is the concern that this is happening to players very early in their career? So just to finish off, Kumar, your final thoughts on that.
Players have to accept what the modern game is. They have to accept the fact that they come into the situations that have affected players in good ways and also bad ways. We are reading only about three players at the moment, Sanjay, but what about the players who have not made it to international level but still go through the same emotions? And what about players who have played international cricket, who have retired and are finding that difficult to deal with? We are reading about three players, and luckily for cricket, they are in the minority at the moment. But that is not to say that that is a problem that does not affect other players. Maybe other players are being affected, and maybe we are not hearing about it as much as them because they deal with the problems in different ways and may have not been as open as Sean Tate, Lou Vincent, and Trescothick have been. At the end of the day, you as a player get a lot of benefit from playing cricket. You make a fantastic living, you travel, you also have a lot more opportunities away from cricket because you are a good player. But at the same time, what you have to realize is every success that you have with cricket is only for a period of time. And whatever comes, you know, the other opportunities that come along with your cricket is because you're a successful cricketer. So your focus has to be on becoming a good cricketer. But at the same time, you have to realize that with cricket is a sport. It is something that you love doing, and that is why you do it. Because you're aware, and I think administrators and teams have to make sure that they make people aware of what they're going to face when they come into the international arena. But at the same time, I think individual players will now have to find ways of becoming stronger characters both mentally and physically in order to deal with these situations. I think to come in and then say, I am sorry, I wasn't prepared, I think might be too late and for those particular players to adjust. And I think they have to do it from the time that they decide they are going to try and play for a long period of time at this top level.
All right, thank you, Kumar, for your thoughts, and David too. Perhaps I think what we've learned is, as with life in general, I mean, we've been talking about stress on players, but I get to hear of my friends who are in a very competitive banking sector in a booming Indian economy also going through the same stresses. And there are a lot of young friends of mine who want to quit their job and go and do farming in villages in India. So I think it is something that is a social reality. and cricket is not really detached from it. So thank you, gentlemen, for your thoughts. Thank you so much for joining us on the Cricket Info Roundtable.
The Roundtable on Cricket Info Talk.